This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature as part of Morning Edition. Now, I'm sure you've been following the Volkswagen emission scandal, but you may not know the discovery of the company's regulatory fraud has a very direct Ann Arbor connection. John German is senior fellow at the International Council on Clean Transportation in Ann Arbor. Mr. German and his organization commissioned a study that revealed Volkswagen had installed devices to thwart emissions testing under laboratory conditions. Since this discovery, the company's CEO has stepped down, and the German automaker is facing potential fines of up to $18 billion. John, good morning, and thank you for your time today. We're most grateful.
Yes, I'm happy to be on the show.
Well, when you commissioned the study on Volkswagen emissions, it wasn't at all with the idea of discovering anything untoward. In fact, it was quite the opposite, wasn't it?
Yes, we have been working on NOx emissions from diesel cars in Europe for at least 5 years, and it's well known that the NOx emissions are high in use. And so our thought was we should test some vehicles in the U.S., and because of the more stringent standards in the U.S. and the type of enforcement that EPA does and their experience, that the cars would be clean, and then we take the data back to Europe and say, hey, they're clean in the U.S., why can't you guys do it too?
Well, we all know of the outcry once the information became public, but I'm curious, when the technicians in West Virginia came back to you with the discovery of these emission devices, what was your personal reaction?
Well, our first thought was there must be a malfunction. You know, there must be something wrong with the car itself. And but then we went back to the test data that was done in the laboratory at the California Air Resources Board, and it had passed the emission standards in the laboratory. So there couldn't have been anything wrong with it. And so at that stage, we were certainly knew that there was something potentially big here, but defeat device is not something you say unless you're absolutely sure.
So then take me from there. Take me through the steps of getting that information and then confirming it, getting it to the EPA, to the government, and ultimately to us, the public.
Yes, our testing was designed to measure emissions under a variety of different operating conditions, and the emissions were high all the time. But we hadn't structured the testing to try to identify the causes of the high emission. So we simply finished our test program and turned the data over to the California Air Resources Board and EPA and let them dive into it. You know, we did tell them, you know, we think you should take a look at this, but they're the ones who actually went through and talked to VW many, many, many times and finally forced them to admit they had a defeat device.
You're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. We're talking with John German. John is a senior fellow at the International Council on Clean Transportation in Ann Arbor. It was that organization that ultimately discovered Volkswagen had installed devices to its diesel cars and gave false emission results. Now, the ICCT has been in favor of clean diesel, as you've mentioned. It's all part of the effort to better reduce CO2 emissions. Has this incident changed that perspective at all? Is clean diesel still a part of our future in your estimation?
I think so. We're very much in favor of performance standards. In other words, you set the standards to accomplish what you want, and then you let manufacturers figure out the best way of doing this. And the third vehicle we tested was the BMW X5, and it was clean under most in-use conditions. So it can be done. It's technically possible. You just have to make sure that the manufacturers don't cheat.
Well, and that brings up the next point. One might surmise that if Volkswagen has the technology to pull off the emissions deception, that other automakers might as well. Do we know if any others have utilized such devices?
We don't have data or information that says that other manufacturers have done the same thing, but it's absolutely the right question. And it is being aggressively investigated in Europe right now.
Could it become a game of cat and mouse, kind of like performance-enhancing drugs in athletics, where as soon as regulators figure out how to test for one thing, the manufacturers have moved on to something else that's virtually undetectable for a period of time?
Yes, certainly that is a possibility. There's a wide variety of ways to detect you're on the official test cycle. But I actually don't think that it's going to happen again, simply because the penalties for getting caught are so severe, at least in the U.S., manufacturers may continue to play games in other countries that don't have the legal authority to do enforcement and the expertise that we have here.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU with our guest, John German. John, again, is a senior fellow at the International Council on Clean Transportation in Ann Arbor. Let's talk a little bit about those regulations and why it's different in the U.S. California obviously has the most stringent emissions laws in the country, but federal regulations are becoming more strict as well. In your estimation, are automakers being asked to do too much with emission standards while keeping their product reasonably affordable?
No, I don't think so. For gasoline vehicles, it's actually quite easy and quite cheap to meet the emission standards. If you're talking about the requirements to improve fuel economy and reduce CO2 emissions, those are more expensive, but the fuel savings more than pay for the cost of the technology. It's actually a net benefit to society.
So conversely, should we be demanding more of the automakers to enact these fuel savings?
The current standards will go out to 2025, and there is a midterm review coming up in a year or two. They're pretty aggressive, and the U.S. has, I think, done a really good job of striking a balance between getting the benefits that we really need while giving manufacturers time to develop the products that are needed.
I know it's hard to do, but if you could project forward to 2025, what kind of fuel economy are we going to be looking at, and will be running primarily on gasoline?
Yeah, now the vehicles will still be primarily gasoline, and that's in part because there are tremendous improvements coming to the gasoline engine that are going to narrow the efficiency gap between the gasoline engine and the diesel engine. The gasoline engine will be the primary technology in that time frame.
What, in your opinion, is going to be the end game as a result of the Volkswagen scandal? Is it going to change the way we go about regulating and monitoring emissions?
In the U.S., I don't think it'll be a big change. That EPA is actually already doing this kind of real-world testing. It's just they've been doing it on heavy-duty vehicles, and now they'll expand it to light-duty. They have all the legal authority and regulatory provisions that they need. Europe is different. That there, because the standards are set European-wide, but enforcement is done at the country level, nobody has clear legal authority to regulate something like this. And so that's something that Europe needs to address.
Are there conversations underway to perhaps look at kind of global standards?
The manufacturers would love global standards. They're always pushing for harmonization, but it's a really tough sell. That countries have a lot of investment in what they've already done, and they don't want to make a change and just adopt something completely different.
Well, I thank you very much for your time today. It's been most informative.
Okay, it's a pleasure.
That is John German. John is Senior Fellow at the International Council on Clean Transportation in Ann Arbor. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to another edition of Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.